Thank you, Peter. What a fantastic morning we've been having, isn't it? Let's just be expectant as we open God's word that he's going to continue to speak to us as we share communion together, that his Holy Spirit is going to continue to move amongst us. Let's just be quiet for a moment. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit moving amongst us, revealing your heart to us. Holy Spirit, we just want to keep our ears open to what you're saying. Breathe on us afresh. Breathe on the Word of God. Bring it alive to us, we pray, to strengthen us and to change us. And to give us life, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this term, we've been going through a series called Encounter, looking at prayer, looking at discovering afresh the reality of God's presence with us, moment by moment, day by day, and how we can just know that in prayer. And in that closeness and intimacy that we can enjoy with our Father. And this morning we're looking, coming to the end of that series. And what I'm looking at this morning, and what I'd like us to think about, is when our prayers are answered, and how we respond when our prayers are answered, but also how we respond when our prayers don't seem to get answered. Certainly not straight away, sometimes not in the way that we would hope for. So I'm going to talk this morning about waiting and celebrating. Celebrating and waiting. Celebrating and waiting. And I'd like to read a psalm to begin, if I can. So if you've got your Bible and you'd like to turn in your Bible with me, I'm going to read from Psalm 40. Because this is a psalm, it's a prayer, it's a cry of the heart of waiting and of celebrating. Psalm 40 says this: I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and he heard my cry. And he lifted me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and mire. And he set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who doesn't look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you plan for us no one can recount to you, and were I speak and tell of them, there would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you didn't desire, but my ears you have pierced and my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you didn't require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll, I desire to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly, I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart, but I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me, and my sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Oh my God, do not delay. To psalm of waiting It's a psalm of celebrating. It's a psalm of waiting. I waited patiently for the Lord. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. For as for me, I'm poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You're my help and my deliverer. You, my God. So don't delay. It's a psalm of waiting. And it's a psalm of celebrating. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I don't seal my lips, O Lord, as you know. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. It's a psalm of waiting, and it's a psalm of celebrating. Which do we prefer? Celebrating or waiting? How much do we enjoy waiting? I've got a couple of little pop quizzes here, just so you can kind of test your kind of waiting rating, if you like. So here we are, scenario one. Imagine this. You are in the queue for the post office. There is only one person serving. You've been waiting for 15 minutes. Finally, you're the next in line. And the person in front of you has just finished their business, what they're doing. But they obviously know the post office worker. And they're telling them all about the lovely holiday that they've just been on. Here are a few possible responses that might rise in your heart. This will show your waiting rating. Response number one, you're happy. You're happy for the person who's had a great holiday. You're happy for their friendship with the postal worker. You're happy to see community happening in the post office. You wonder about forming a new growth group with you, the holiday person, and the postal worker. Might be one response. Second response, you think of what you'd really like to say to these two people. Like invite them to ACC's Christmas events, perhaps. But you just tut loudly. Might be your response. Or, thirdly, you might march up to the counter, barge in front of the other person, and thrust your parcel onto the scales. You don't have to say which would be your natural inclination. Here's another one. Scenario two. You're in a doctor's waiting room. You've been sitting there for 40 minutes. Other people have come in after you, have been seen by other doctors, and have left. You wonder if your doctor has gone to lunch without telling anyone. Are you, first of all, grateful for the chance to catch up with the 1997 Reader's Digest? Or perhaps you tell the other patients that you have a highly contagious condition in an attempt to clear the waiting room and get seen by a doctor, any doctor. Or maybe you force yourself to hyperventilate to get immediate attention. Don't know. But those are kind of fairly casual types of waiting, aren't they? And we can generally put up with them. But what about more serious types of waiting? Maybe times when we're praying for healing for ourselves or for someone else, and we're not seeing much improvement. What about times when we're desperate for a move? Or desperate for a new job? For any job? To start a family? To see the restoration of a relationship? To see someone that you care about come to faith? To see provision for a need in your life? What about waiting when there's no guarantee of a certain outcome? How are we with those kinds of waiting? That kind of waiting can be hard. And it can be painful, can't it? An American author called Lewis Smead says this, "Waiting is our destiny. As creatures who cannot by themselves always bring about what they hope for, we wait in the darkness for a flame we cannot light. We wait in fear for a happy ending we cannot write. We wait for a not yet that sometimes feels like a not ever." If you could write the story of your life, I wonder what it would look like. I'm guessing it would be full of joy, full of plenty, full of peace, full of friendship, full of love, full of laughter, full of leisure. possibly not much waiting. Maybe you couldn't kind of articulate the fullness of what that story might be that you would like to write in your life. But we certainly know in our gut, don't we, when our current circumstances don't match up to that. My firm belief, because the Bible tells me so, is that God has a plan for each one of our lives, whether we're choosing to follow him and walk in it or not. But that if we make a decision to give our lives to God in response to his saving grace to us in Jesus, that a lifelong journey begins of seeing God unwrapping his story in our lives and then taking us by the hand and leading us in and through it. And it's a story of joy and blessing and peace and destiny because God loves to bless. But it's not always the story that we might write exactly for our lives, is it? Because it also includes times of heartache as well as joy, struggle as well as blessing, hardship as well as plenty, and hard slog as well as rest. There are times when we see quick and amazing answers to prayer. And there are times when we don't seem to see any answers at all. Certainly not the ones that we hope for. And those times when we're hoping or praying for things, either because God has promised them to us or simply because they're the desires of our heart. And yet sometimes there is a gap between our hopes and our prayers and the reality of our circumstances. And that can be hard to walk through. Times of waiting. And sometimes you hear people describing times like that, don't you, as walking through a desert. That's a good description, I think, because deserts are tough places to live in. They seem to stretch out beyond the horizon, and that sometimes can be how it feels when we're waiting for an answer to prayer. The Bible is full of deserts in the lives of God's people, both literal deserts and kind of those metaphorical ones, where God has promised great things to his people, and yet they face many years of waiting, sometimes in very difficult circumstances. And I had some different examples, but I'm just conscious of time, not going to read through them. But Hebrews 11, it talks about great people of faith. You can read through that chapter yourself. And it says of some of them that despite living with the hope of God's promise, that the reality of their situation was that they were still living by faith when they died and didn't receive the things they promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. All of them would have prayed for God's invitation, for the realization of the promises that God had made, yet all went through seasons where there seemed there were no answers to their prayers. Times when it seemed like there was no end to the desert. No way out, no end in sight, not much by way of relief. I'm sure lots of us can remember times in our lives like that. Maybe you feel like you're in one of those right now. So how do we respond when we're in a time like that? In a time of waiting, a time that can feel sometimes like a desert. There are different options. One of them is denial. We can do that kind of mental gymnastics kind of thing where we just say, no, I refuse to accept that I'm sick or I'm lonely or I'm weary or I'm struggling because I'm a child of God and this doesn't happen to children of God. Well, that's neither biblical nor helpful, is it? Or we can kind of go down the DIY approach. That I just need to try harder, that I need to make it happen. If I pray harder, my prayers will work. Where we try by our own efforts to close the gap between the hope in our hearts and the reality of our circumstances, and yet that just invariably adds more suffering in despair in our lives. We can give up sometimes, can't we? Because it hurts to hope sometimes in the face of continued reality that isn't where our hopes and our prayers are. So we try to stop hurting by giving up on hope. We give in to despair. We can even mock those who hold on to that hope. Oh, how naive is that? And that sometimes can seem comforting in the short term, because the tension in our hearts and souls is released, but it just kills our soul. Or we can set our hearts to wait on God. We can set our hearts to wait on God. But we hate waiting, don't we? Yet from the very first pages of the Bible through to the final verses, God's call is throughout Scripture for us to wait on Him. 43 times in the Old Testament alone, God says, wait, wait on me, wait on the Lord. Right through to the end of the book in Revelation 22, when Jesus promises to come again and the cry rises up, yes, amen, come Lord Jesus, we're waiting, we're waiting. And even though Jesus has come to bring in God's kingdom, He sent His Holy Spirit to empower His people to take it to all the corners of this planet, waiting is not yet over for mankind, is it? Romans 8 tells us that. Let me just read a few verses. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We can set our hearts to wait patiently on God. But what do we need to be able to do that? To wait when our prayers aren't seeming to be answered in the ways or the time scale that we'd hoped for? Well, the Bible says what we need is patient trust. Patient trust in our God. See, waiting in the Bible, the waiting that the Bible talks about is never a passive thing, is it? It's not we're waiting for something or someone to come along who will allow us just simply to escape from the reality of our circumstances. But the waiting that the Bible talks about is a confident, disciplined, expectant, sometimes painful clinging to God. It's a continual daily decision, isn't it, to say, God, I'm going to choose today again to trust you and to obey you. And to praise you, even though the circumstances of my life aren't maybe turning out the way I was wanting them to. They may not ever turn out the way exactly I want them to. But I am putting my hope in you, God. There is no plan B. It's that daily decision with God's help to believe in His word that He is good always. And that if there are problems, they are never with God. Will I trust that God has good reasons for wanting me to wait sometimes? Even when I don't know what they are, but I will trust to know that God knows what He's doing. Will I remember that things look differently to God because He views things from eternity? Second Peter 3 says this. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness, but He is patient with you. We've heard that this morning, haven't we? Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Will we hold on to that fact that God views things from eternity? There's a story that an economist once read that passage and was amazed by it. And so he talked to God, and the conversation went a little bit like this. Father, is it true that 1,000 days for us is just like 1 minute to you? And God answered, yes, that's true. So the economist said, well, then £1,000,000 to us must be like a penny to you. And God answered again, well, yes, So the economist said, "Well, Father, will you give me one of those pennies, please?" God says, "All right, I will. Just wait a minute." You see, we often want God's resources, but not always his timing. We want his hand, but not always his calendar. And there can be many reasons, can't there, why sometimes our prayers don't seem to get answered. It's never because God is lacking in resources or desire or wisdom for the best way to answer our prayers. But sometimes there is a timing issue, isn't there? The time isn't right. God sees from an eternal perspective that we cannot see. Or sometimes it's because God has something better that he has planned for us. But undoubtedly, sometimes there is waiting in our lives when our prayers don't seem to get answered because God has something that he is wanting to do in us during that time of waiting, that desert time, that is as important and precious to God as the delight he takes in blessing us with the desires of our hearts. Sometimes there is something that God is wanting to do in us during that waiting that is as important and precious to him as the delight he takes in blessing us with the desires of our hearts. We've been hearing this morning, God is a loving Father. And he's a loving Father who is passionately committed to helping his children learn to live a lifestyle of complete dependence on him and trust in him, where we become mature in him in the likeness of his Son. And it's often when he takes us through those desert times of waiting that God does the most remarkable work of teaching us and drawing us deeper into himself. We know, don't we, that the default bias of our hearts is towards self-reliance and independence. We're very good at kidding ourselves that we can handle life. But when we come face to face with our own inability to cope or change what is happening, when our strength and our resources run out, we begin to realize our true helplessness. And this is just what God longs for us to realize, so that we will cling tight to him again. The desert times, the times of waiting, can sometimes be God's tender yet powerful cure for our wandering heart. Psalm 63 says this: "Oh God, you're my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, my body longs for you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." The footnote to that psalm in my Bible, it says a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. Have you ever been brought to a place where you have cried out to God for so long and so often that a new channel seems to open up between you and God? There's a desperation in you that drives you to God in a new or fresh way that isn't the way that you would have planned it, but you cannot deny is raw and authentic and deeper than anything you've known in a long time. Where without planning it, we're learning to pray continuously and authentically in a raw but deep way with God. And in that place, we make an amazing discovery that God becomes an oasis of refreshing and life to us. Because God's work is never cold and calculating and callous. because he's a loving father. He's not a cold-hearted army sergeant who's beasting a new recruit to toughen them up. God doesn't drag us into a desert of waiting and then disappear for us to find our way through, does he? He's a loving father who shields us and leads us and provides for us and never leaves us, even when he has to take us through hard places. Psalm 23 tells us that God is the shepherd who walks us through the valley of the shadow of death, as well as the lush pastures of plenty. In fact, it's there that that psalm tells us, in the valley of the shadow of death, he's not just leading us from the front or pursuing us with love and mercy from behind, but is right there next to us. And in those times, we find again, don't we, that God's presence is the best gift we can have in or out of the desert of waiting. And with his presence comes strength and comfort. Isaiah 40 tells us that those who wait on the Lord renew their strength. They can run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint, rise on wings like eagles. 2 Corinthians 1 talks about the comfort that God brings to us in our troubles. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." When we don't receive what we pray for or desire, does it mean that God is ignoring us or refusing to act on our behalf? No. He's weaving his story in our lives. And he's inviting us to wait on him and to lean into him and to know his strength and to know his comfort. God has a plan for our lives. One of a loving father helping his children to mature. And in that is the promise of blessing and joy and peace, but not freedom from heartache and struggle and pain. And our prayers are part of that dialogue with a God who wants not just to hear us, but to shape our lives. Praying is a part of unwrapping God's story in our lives and allowing him to walk us through that. Colossians 4 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Watchfulness in prayer just keeps us alert to the unfolding drama of the present, of God's story in our lives as it unfolds into his future grace. The Bible calls us, Jesus said, persevere in prayer. Persevere in prayer. Because it's prayer that allows us, as we wait, to enter into God's peace and his strength and his comfort. I'm sure you've experienced that. When you've felt weighed down by a heaviness of circumstances and actually just spending time with God. It's not an instant thing, is it? You don't sort of just say, "Oh, Father, bing, everything's perfect." But actually there is something of pressing into God's presence, of knowing him, of pouring your heart out to him, that suddenly you begin to find his strength comes to your soul. His peace rests on you. His comfort fills your heart. Prayer is one way that we receive God's comfort, as is feeding on the Bible. Feeding on God's truth, it nourishes our soul. And from one another. Now, we just so need to learn to be more and more honest together. Honest as the Bible is honest about the struggles of living, waiting for prayer to be answered. Just being able to say to one another, "Yeah, I'm trusting in God, but this just hurts right now. This hurts." When we're struggling, it's okay to admit that we're struggling. It isn't a sign of weakness, but it's a sign of strength, because it opens the door for us to be able to support and bless one another. And as scary as that can sound, actually, we don't need to have the answers for people, do we? We don't need to have the right words for people when they're struggling. Sometimes it's just enough to know that someone is standing with us, is walking with us, is praying with us. We just pray for one another. That 2 Corinthians 1 passage promises that as we receive God's comfort ourselves, we'll be equipped to comfort others. Sometimes just by laying a hand on them. That's by sometimes praying for them. Not just in the church family, but also to those currently outside of Christ. And Mike Betts was sharing yesterday at this day, he was sharing on this passage. And he was just saying that one of the things that has just been stirring in their hearts as they've been thinking about our relational mission and the churches and the mission that we're on together is that the church has got to be there for a broken world. It's a phrase he kept using. Church has got to be there for a broken world. God's promised, hasn't he, to bring waifs and strays to us, hurting and broken people. What are they going to need? They're going to need comfort. Not always the right words, not always a solution, but comfort. People who will just sit with them, wait with them, pray for them. May be able to share, yeah, I've struggled with that too. Waiting on God. It's not easy, is it? But as we wait on him, he promises to strengthen and comfort us. And we find him unfolding his story in our lives. Very quickly, and we're going to share communion together. Because we celebrate too. We celebrate when prayer is answered. Every answered prayer is an amazing gift and blessing, isn't it? Is there anything that you enjoy more than answered prayer? I wonder. Knowing that I spoke to God, and he did what I asked him for. Isn't that amazing? I spoke to God and he heard me. And he responded in grace and mercy and love. God moved on my behalf. Is there anything more amazing than that? And we need to celebrate when God answers prayer. And we're not always very good at that, are we? We just need to celebrate. We need to give testimony. It's been great to hear, even this morning, one or two people just sharing testimony of what God's been doing in their lives, sometimes in very difficult circumstances. We need to celebrate and give testimony to every answered prayer. Whether it's here on a Sunday morning. You know, if you've got something that God's done in your life, an answered prayer, can I encourage you? Bring it and share it. Whether it's when growth groups start back up again, that's a great place to just share answered prayer because it builds faith in us, doesn't it? It encourages us. There's that feeling in us, wow, amazing, look what God has done. Bring it on a Sunday. Speak to whoever's going to be, just come up, find out who's going to be leading the meeting in the morning, hosting the meeting and say, you know, I've got something that God's done in my life. Can I share it this morning? And they'll just be able to kind of help you find a good time to do it. Often at the beginning of a service is the best time because it just builds our faith and raises our faith as we come into God's presence. Let's share with our brothers and sisters. It encourages us and blesses us. Do you know, we also have answers to prayer that will be an amazing impact on those that haven't yet come to faith. Sometimes we're not sure what to talk about. You know, we want to share something of God with our neighbours, with our friends. We don't always know how. We don't always think, well, theology, I'm not so sure. Well, we need to come on Word Plus, obviously. But actually just sharing an answer to prayer with someone. Saying, oh, you know what I was struggling with the other week? Do you know how God has answered that prayer? It's amazing. Write down the ways that God has answered prayer in your life because we're so quick to forget them. It's just food for our souls and faith. Genuinely, we need to be thankful for answered prayer. We need to remember to keep thanking God for his answers to prayer. Large and small, thankfulness keeps our hearts grace-centered. We remember that all of life is a gift from God. Even if the things are really small, it does not matter. Let us celebrate everything that God does, the big or the small. Again, as we've kind of been in the relational mission settings, we went to the presence of God days, and we were praying for healing. One of the kind of things that kept coming through was, actually, let's celebrate for every little bit of improvement. Are you feeling slightly better? Let's celebrate that. Let's thank God for that. That is something to be celebrated. We don't always have to wait for the complete answer, the big picture, the huge thing. Let's celebrate everything that God is doing, because it just builds faith in us. It stirs worship in us. Let's celebrate and keep praying. Let's celebrate everything. Call to mind answered prayer and celebrate. Give testimony. Thank God. Wonderful. Let's stand together. Joe, I would have loved to have taken a little bit of time just to kind of ask anyone if they had any answered prayer right now, and just to give testimony now, but we don't have time to do that. But maybe for next week, okay, come with some answers to prayer. As you meet with each other this week, just share with one another for encouragement how God has been speaking to you, answering prayer in your life. It will just do you good, and it will do others good. But I just want us to just quieten our hearts now before God. He's been speaking to us, encountering us by his Holy Spirit. And I just particularly want to pray as we take communion now for those that are in a time of waiting. That you're waiting for something that you've been praying for a long time. And it may really seem like a desert place, a hard place at the moment. And I want us just to pray for one another, for the strength and the comfort of God as he unfolds his story in our lives. Heavenly Father, thank you for that precious call that comes from your throne to wait on you. Lord, I thank you that that is not a sign that is posted on the doorpost to your throne room that says, wait here, but is an invitation to draw close to our Father, to cling tight to our Father, to pour out our hearts again to our Father, because he never tires of hearing the cry of our hearts, the desire of our hearts, the burden of our hearts. Thank you that you invite us just afresh, not to wait at a distance, but to come and cling fast to you. Father, we do that together right now. We do that together right now. Those of us that are waiting on things in our lives, can I just encourage you, bring them to your Father again right now. Cling fast to him. I'll just ask Ed to come up. And we're just going to sing that song again, Cornerstone. And a trust in God. We're going to cling to God. Can I just ask you, if you're waiting for something, if you're waiting on God, can I just ask you to raise your hand? Okay. And can I just ask us as family together, let's pray for one another. Just as the band start to play, maybe there's someone, keep your hands in the air just for a moment more if you would. If there's someone around you with their hand in the air, can I ask you, go and stand with them. Guys that stand with guys, ladies with ladies. Okay, we don't have to have answers. We don't have to have wise words. Let's just pray that blessing of God, the strength of God, the comfort of God into those folks. Maybe there's a whole group of you just standing next to each other. You've all got your hands in the air. Well, I just encourage you, pray for one another. And then in a moment, the bread and the wine's going to come round, and let's just share that together. Romans 8 tells us that if God did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us, how much more will he give us all good things? Do we need any reminder that our Father is good to us? That our Father does not withhold good things from us? We look at the cross. We take the bread and the wine. We remind ourselves that he has given us his Son. How much more will he give us all things? So, just one more time, hands in the air if you like, someone just to pray with you. Let's pray blessing and comfort and strength to one another in the name of Jesus. As the band lead us in worship, join in if you want to, and then in a moment we'll pass the bread and the wine around.